Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August the 28th, 241st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Mr. Warmoth.
Dale Warmoth.
Yep. That would be younger Mr. Warmoth.
My father goes by Mr. Warmoth.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Still? No.
Well, to me.
Oh, okay. He doesn't go by Dad?
No.
Oh.
maybe around the Christmas tree, it's Dad.
Yeah.
At work, it's the boss.
When the presents and the bow, huh?
Leon.
Yeah.
He's Leon.
Mr. Warmoth and his offspring,
yes.
The younger Mr. Warmoth. How's that?
I like it.
All righty. When we come back, we'll spend a little bit of time talking with Dale about travel. We've got the 3-day weekend coming up. Also, if you have just returned from your summer sojourns, what are some of the things that you may want to be paying attention to? And also hunters. Yeah, you're going off in different areas. Oftentimes, there's not a lot of asphalt or automotive repair shops in the neighborhood when you might need it. So we'll talk a little bit about that also. Kind of a past, present, and future, to use a Dickens analogy.
I like it.
We'll find out how much he really likes it when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dale Warmoth. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, boy, I can't pronounce. Can you pronounce that name?
Camille.
Good. That leaves a second name for me. Ataturk.
Camille Ataturk.
Or close enough.
Okay.
Quote, a nation which makes the final sacrifice for life and freedom does not get beaten.
True enough.
Yeah, laying it on the line. So, Mr. Dale, what are some of the things that you run into typically this time of the year? Are there things that summer brings about for our vehicles that other times of the year don't?
I think those that are passing through, we see too many people that are having their scheduled maintenance catch up with them. They haven't had to maybe follow it up with the timing belt. They didn't have the coolant checked, those kinds of things. And, of course, serious ailments can come of that lack of preventative maintenance. There's always a need to check the tires, and those. There's some common things I suppose most of us would think about. But
we could look at a tire. Go, okay, it looks a little flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything under the hood, though, unless you have that predilection.
Well, we all
kind of get surprising. You know, you mentioned a belt or a hose. Yeah, right. I look at it and go, okay, it looks black to me.
Yeah, it looks okay to me, yeah. Well, in the owner, everybody's owner's manual, in the glove box, you know, it's just tucked away in that place where you'll never forget where it's at.
That's the thing that opens.
You never look at. It has a long list of things that we should be doing for scheduled maintenance, like checking the coolant, having somebody maybe rotate the tires, make certain there's still plenty of friction material for brakes, given an opportunity to glance at the tires themselves, how much tread wear is really left, having somebody simply check the battery. And, of course, for us locally, we're all daydreaming about going somewhere where it's sunny and hot. And
you missed those 3 days earlier in the month?
Yes, I did. And with that notion, while that all sounds good as we daydream about it, the truth is we're going to need our air conditioner when we get there. Yes, we like to get out of the car and feel that warmth and heat, but we want to be sure the air conditioner still works. And so there's another thing, that if the car's 8-10 years old, maybe it's time to follow up with the degree air conditioning is providing cool air.
The funny little things that light up in the dashboards, warning signals, warning
check
lights,
engine reminders. Lights, check engine lights.
Are you wise to rely upon those to give you the reminder to have something taken care of, or the water needing to be looked at, or the batteries, or when those things go, it's kind of like you've had the heart attack, get to the hospital?
Well, more often than not, it's emission related. Those check engine lights. I mean, everything we know from the gas cap being loose to some other emission device maybe doesn't have any effect on runability. And certainly we should be really sensitive to it. starting a little slower. It feels a little funny when I'm driving to work.
So feeling is an okay.
I think feelings. Feedback. Yeah, you bet. You've driven the car for a long time. You know how perky it's supposed to be, or how quick it is to leave from a stoplight or stop sign, and suddenly you're feeling a little bit of a shudder or a miss, and that's a whole nother level of check engine light that we need to be following up on.
So anything that feels funny, is that enough to go, you know, it's probably ought to have somebody who knows what they're looking at look at it?
More often than not, if it feels funny, you also had the check engine light. Come on. Cars since 19...
Well, okay, now for alignment, though.
Oh, no.
If you're kind of shooting, you're feeling a little funny.
True enough. The car could have... you have a vibration at a certain speed, probably a tire balance problem. You have the car, it seems to pull one way all the time when you step on the brake pedal. Well, maybe it's an alignment, maybe it's a tire issue. No, you're right. Those are issues that can come up that don't have any kind of warning light that is common together with that symptom.
So how do you avoid naturally getting comfortable? A lot of guys and gals, you know, pulls to the left as our example. Well, it starts out as a little gentle and then a little bit more. And, you know, we're the frog in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bubbling around and we're looking going, gee, you know, the view's changed a little bit. How do you avoid that numbness?
Well, I can't speak for every repair shop. For our base customers, I mean, we have a great comfort level with taking it for just a very short test drive and giving the customer that second opinion for, yeah, that shouldn't shake when I'm pulling up to a stop sign the way yours does, or no, smoke shouldn't come out of there when you take off from the stop sign.
Or that dragging sound?
Yeah.
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 The muffler is what I was referencing. I didn't want to be too opaque for you.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, another one of those exhausting
muffler,
jokes.
Yeah, well, historically exhausting.
With the advent of the catalytic converter, we don't hear as much in the way of exhaust issues as we once did. But you could end up with something nearest to the engine, a cracked exhaust manifold or something of that sort, where when you first start it in the morning, you hear some ticking sound, or you're pulling a grade and it's a little more pronounced. It almost sounds like a miss, a ticking. Again, I say a ticking sound. Those are all indications of some repair that's in the making.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Dale Wormuth from Leon's. Dale, the concept of preparing for travel is something that I think people have varying degrees of sensitivity to. Yes, dear, I can pack in the next half hour.
Yeah.
We'll be gone for 4 weeks. I can handle it. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. The macho kind of guy, okay. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got somebody who just had their oil change last week coming in and saying, I'm going to be going on a trip to Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
And I've put on 50 miles already. Can I safely go down and be back? You've been there too.
My wife's pretty sensitive that way. She's the big packer, and I'm the one that says, no, I'm ready to go on any given second.
Yeah.
And she's closer to right than I am.
I see. We're kissing up right now, huh?
No,
yeah, okay.
I see the validity in it all, in having some water in the car, having a blanket in the car. And I think our community, as a component of natural disasters, is probably better prepared generally than most. But there's still a host of things like having a set of jumper cables in the car. Something I learned not too long ago was about cell phones. There's oftentimes we don't get great cell phone reception, but, you know, a text often will get out. That's just a little bite of information that gets sent out where you don't, you know, end up with those broken cell phone conversations. That to remember, sometimes texting is a much better position than just trying to use a cell phone.
And not relying solely on a cell phone.
That's right.
Make plans still to give the
there's that
let
too.
People
tell,
know what's going
tell
on.
Tell everybody where we might be going.
So what are the things that we would need to do for our vehicle? Let's say if we were going, I don't know, a 1,000-mile round trip. Is there anything there that should be a big concern, or is it the longer trips that really start becoming something where you as the highly trained professional would go, you know, think about doing this, think about looking at that?
Well, I always think about, as spontaneous as I like to be, and this will sound simple and naive, but always checking the tires. Maybe not carrying all that unnecessary stuff can affect fuel economy. I mean, there's no reason to carry the firewood from last year's campfire, I wouldn't think. There's no reason to carry last year's camp tent. There's all those things that are accumulated. Maybe it's from the soccer game or the, you know, you're storing the soccer league stuff in the back of the car. We could take those things out. Having a flashlight, tire chains. I mean, I suppose I'm pushing this further out into the winter conversation, but there's some merit in being prepared.
Well, that's what the Boy Scouts teach. I suppose the Girl Scouts too.
I would suspect both.
I kind of got thrown out of that tent, so. The preparations, can we be properly prepared for everything? Or do we say, you know, I can do a majority with these five or six items, and if the other happens, it's an acceptable risk.
I like the thought of checking the battery, having the brakes checked, knowing the tires are in good condition, and then having a jumper pack, a battery pack. They make little self-contained jumper units that you don't have to go looking for the next hunter 5 miles down the road to jumpstart your rig. I've got a long list of things that go beyond. I like carrying a tow strap.
Not a tow strap.
Not for your toe,
okay.
No. No, for when I'm stuck in the ditch.
You snuck up on me on that one.
No, when I'm stuck in the ditch. And a simple first aid kit. And again, as you had mentioned, making people aware where you're headed.
Simple and easy sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, and I don't know why, I suppose it's, again, it's because of the earthquakes and being prepared for natural disasters. I don't like to run my rig down to minimum fuel. Okay, I'm only going to go to South Fork Mountain. There's no reason not to fill the tank.
Now, I remember that was one of the things that Jeff Brooks had talked regularly about back when he was still on the air and still alive.
Yeah.
Was you didn't want to take it all the way down because at a certain point, oxygen starts getting in the mix. You get too low.
There's debris in the tank. There's
things that we never see that you guys see all the time.
There's a host of cars today that don't really have any real fuel filter in line. They just have a simple little cloth sock on the bottom of the fuel pump, and that's the principal protection for dirty fuel.
That would be a little disturbing for you, wouldn't it?
How's that?
Would you buy a vehicle like that? It just had some kind of a small little filter instead of a...
Oh, I don't think there's much getting away from it today with all of our fuel-injected cars. Most all of them are geared that way, yep.
Huh. So when you pull a gas tank...
Oh, it's amazing the kind of...
What do you find?
Fish and turtles and diesel rigs, all the jelly and algae, what have you. I mean, there's another case where if you have a diesel vehicle and you don't drive a great deal, maybe you've gotten spooked with all the crazy diesel prices... diesel spoils. It's a bit organic without having put French fry oil in it. You still manage to get a host of different algae and organic material start to develop in the diesel tank.
Can you dump something in there?
There's a host of different products to help keep the diesel fuel clean.
Probably not gas.
Not gasoline.
Okay, good.
Not gas nor water.
Oh, there we go. KINS, wouldn't want to drown them.
No.
KINS, news and information time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dale Warmoth.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dale Warmoth from Leon's. Dale, we got a three-day weekend that's staring us in the chops. Some of us are getting three-day weekends. Mm-hmm. If this is the last hurrah, what are some of the things that you'll experience for the folks who they may be running to the lake? They may be bringing their, not taking a trailer up, but they're bringing the boat back, or they're doing something similar to that. That extra stress and strain on the engine, is that something that you guys get involved with either beforehand or after to make things work a little bit better?
Either before or after, we see the panic of the person towing a trailer. Oh, the lights don't work. I loaned it to my brother-in-law, and now the plug doesn't quite match. I suppose, again, going with that 30-minute preparation idea is a bad idea. again, just a couple of moments of kind of kicking the tires and checking things, and maybe 35 minutes of preparation.
There you go. Expand that out about five more minutes.
Yes.
Is there a significant difference between driving rural and driving paved roads? There's a lot of the dirt roads, the gravel roads, things like that. If we've been to the river, the lakes, fishing, that kind of stuff. If we go up, cut our own wood, that kind of thing. Well, we're out and there's a lot of dust floating around, you know, you kind of feel a little macho, and that's great in the truck, and you wash it off. But we don't tend to wash it off 100%.
You know, one thing that I think a number of people aren't aware of is a host of cars today have something called it's called a cabin filter, and it's an interior filter to the vehicle that filters the air coming for your air conditioner, all your fresh air that's coming in. They're meant to be changed about every 30,000 miles. It's not unusual for us to see one that's gone 100,000 miles, and you'd be hard-pressed to breathe through it. The air conditioner's put a great deal more strains put on the air conditioner. You're forced turning it up higher and higher to get some flow out of the system because you've been in that rural setting, and the filter's gotten very dirty. So that's one of those things that a lot of people probably haven't given much thought to. Again, it'd be mentioned in that book that you've never opened that's in the glove box.
Well, that's why it's in plastic to protect it.
That's right.
Yeah. Air filter, fuel filter, same?
Well, again, as we mentioned, there's fewer and fewer vehicles are coming with a fuel filter. I don't think of that as a component of the dirt necessarily. I suppose you start talking dirt roads, I go back to tire condition. You know, what we probably perceive as okay on paved roads to squeeze that last little bit when it's just getting to the wear bar, that probably doesn't fly off-road in thinking of dirt country roads.
Find a rough rock.
Yeah.
So how far down do you take your tires? I remember Carol Delabama talking about Lincoln's head. Put the penny in, if you can't see his head, or if you see all of his head, that's the time. Is that still a good rule of thumb?
I think they've doubled that.
You got to put two pennies in there?
Well, I would say we're probably talking the better part of an eighth of an inch, myself personally. When I see it, the wear bars are beginning to get dirty from some of my driving dirt, most often in gravel or dirt roads, and you begin to see the wear bars pick up a little bit of that sandy color. It's time to change tires. And we're talking about a time that our next big rain, I mean, I know we still have September and most of October's really our best months, but the end of October come November, we'll see our rains coming, and that's when we're all slipping and sliding off the road. We're traveling at the rate that we used to in summer months, and the tire conditions aren't what they were, there's oil on the road, and away we go in the ditch.
You see that too often. So if you see the wear bars, is that trigger or is that
it's
just
time? It's
start
time
to pay attention.
No. It's time if we're seeing the wear bars.
What if the treads, you know, the tread pattern, you're seeing most of it, but not quite all of it. You know, like the center starts to wear.
Well, now we're talking. It depends on if we're talking about the center of the tire wearing. It's been overinflated. The outside edge of the tire. It's been underinflated. The doorpost of your car has the recommended tire pressure if you still have the original tires and wheels on it. That's a great thing to rely on to base the appropriate tire pressure on. And if you've changed to some kind of custom wheels and tires, you need to be talking to the tire shop and getting a solid recommendation. Sometimes some of the funny wear can be a shock or an alignment issue, but more often than not, it's either one, misalignment, tire pressure, and then we do see our fair share of people who have put on oversized tires and wheels, and they're beginning to...
Well, like the Macho tire?
Yes.
So to speak?
Yeah.
Those will wear differently on
absolutely.
That vehicle?
Absolutely. The vehicle's geometry is set up for just a wheel maybe that's just 7 inches wide. Now you've put a 10-inch wide wheel on it, and you've changed the steering geometry. So the tires begin to scrub and wear differently, and you probably need to rotate them more often.
Does that cause problems with the steering and the shocks and the brakes and everything else?
I would say first and foremost the wheel bearings. As you begin to increase the diameter or the width of the wheel, you're putting more stress and strain on the wheel bearings, and that's something that anytime the tire shop's going to pull a wheel off, they should be checking the wheel bearings, just giving a little rock to the wheel.
Just to double check and
just
make sure.
Double check, yeah.
If it's starting to get to be a problem, how does that feel for the driver?
Well, sometimes it can almost be an audible knock. It's not unusual. With all of our cars having ABS, it can cause an ABS light, anti-lock brake light to come on. Because there's a speed sensor in most wheel bearings now, if it's too much motion, the sensor realizes it's out of sync, and it'll trigger a check-in, an anti-brake lock light. And you still have the basic function of brakes when those lights come on, but you no longer have the virtue of the anti-lock. And it's an indication that something, the brake fluid's low or the wheel bearing is out of spec, that'll cause that light to come on.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Dale Wormuth.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dale Wormuth. Dale, as we're out bopping around wherever we happen to go, if we have the need, and let's say, I mean, for me, it tends to be with the power steering on the truck, and I'll turn and it starts kind of whining a little bit. Okay, so once again, I forgot to do something and didn't get it down to the shop and have somebody do whatever it is that is done to it, but I feel the need on the road, unfamiliar, to have something done. Is there a rule of thumb that if you, let's say we're in Utah, okay, and we don't know anybody from Utah, how do you find a place to go to that you can have some confidence in, at least to have that taken care of? Is there, when you guys are another part of the country, is there anything that you do? Of course, you probably got the trades that you can lean on pretty quick with a couple phone calls.
We occasionally will, number one, being our own shop, being a Napa Auto Care Center, we are able to send people to other Napa Auto Care Centers and get the warranty followed up on within the network of Napa dealers. Not having that in place, I would say, and I've fallen back on this previous to us being a Napa Auto Repair Center, is using Yelp. And I don't think it's as common to us in our small community. We're all familiar with who the good guys are and where the questionable ones are. But when you get into an urban area or an area you're not familiar with, Yelp is, I think, one of the first places we all fall back on. Now, I say that, and I'm going to share this with a degree of embarrassment. Our Yelp is, we have one, Yelp is really funny, who they'll let post and not. If you're out of the area, they'll let you post. Leon's Car Care Center has a terrible Yelp rating. We only have one out of the area person that's rated us, and they had some frustrations with us. And I didn't deal with it soon enough. So that certainly there's the means for Yelp to backfire on, as I'm describing its benefits. I've more recently responded and acknowledging that we touch probably 40 or 50 cars a day that one customer in 4 years having a hard time with us. I have to admit sometimes we get it wrong. That having been said, I think more often than not you could rely on Yelp to try to get some sense, some confidence, some comfort level with who do I call, where do I go? To say nothing of AAA. AAA has a host of repair centers in Eureka alone. I think there's 4 or 5 AAA approved auto centers. A handful of them allow for even a AAA member discount. That would be another. In the case of AAA or in Napa, there is some. There's a process where if you had a grievance, you could air that, and they'll step in much like a Better Business Bureau, and help you out of that moment.
Hotels, motels,
auto
restaurants,
repair, towing.
Yeah, just kind of talk a little bit.
Yeah,
be okay with that.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's not an issue for any of our folks that are traveling one way or traveling another, planning with the hunting or later on. So what are you guys going to be doing on Labor Day? Anything fun, exciting, dynamic?
Preparing for Cruising Eureka.
There you go.
Cruising Eureka. We're going to be
getting... Still working on the beast, huh?
I have a hot rod that may never see the light of day, I don't think. But the group of us are going to have a barbecue and preparing our swag bags, the goodie bags. And just having a regular all-American barbecue.
Way to go. Maybe even the Giants will win a game this weekend.
There you go. Yes.
We can all thanks hope. For coming by, bud.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Dale Wormuth. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.